We have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while I try to teach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers, and our children falling down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? WMU Day Today. Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sisters, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. There are good hymns out there, but this morning we're making a shift. Because what we're going to do is talk a little bit about praise songs. I asked some of you by email and then by an announcement a week or two ago to give me an idea of some praise songs that have been important to you. And I asked specifically in this hour because this is the group of folks that normally attend the gathering where those kinds of things in our church are more often heard. And I've had a pretty interesting response. One person sent me, I think, eight, and two others sent me another eight or so. So I've got several of these lined up. My problem is, I know the hymns, and I don't know the praise choruses. So this morning, in the first hour, we couldn't sing these because I don't know the tunes. So if it turns out I've picked one, and there's enough people in the room who know the tune, we can sing at least the chorus on some of these if you'd like. You got to tell me whether you feel comfortable doing that, okay? I don't want to pick on the business. I don't want to pick on the returning home prodigals too much too soon.
Yeah, there's no secret that Blaine has joined us this morning.
Well, I got to tell you this, just to make sure you understand. Paul came into the first hour. Paul Honecker came into the first hour because he heard we were talking about hymns. I said, "You come on a good day. We're going to talk about praise songs today." And so he got praise songs for the day. Here's the first one that I have. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. And then the chorus that has as good a list as anything I've seen. Some of you who've been with us for a while know that for a long time we've essentially been doing lists. It's just our list right now is hymns, and so we're looking at individual hymns. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand. The story of the potter is in Jeremiah. God called his prophet Jeremiah one morning and said, "I want you to go down to the potter's house and just stand and watch." You remember what he saw? The potter was at work on his wheel, and he was making something, and all of a sudden he stopped, took it, changed it all around, and made it into something else. And God said to his prophet, "Can't I do with my people Israel what you've just seen the potter do with his clay?" And that phrase, "clay in the potter's hands," comes out of that story. I really like that list that comes into the chorus. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. Call me, guide me, lead me, and then that last one, walk beside me. Because I think if you don't have that one, the other seven are probably not going to work. What comments do you have? Does anybody know that chorus? Do you know how to sing that chorus?
Okay.
Darlene Zesch.
Hillsong.
Okay.
Hillsong, I think. I'm putting together the lyrics on it's just going to be on a PDF, but there's going to be the word listen in blue, and if you click on that, it's supposed to take you to a website where you can read the lyrics and listen to the thing, if not see a video of it. And I think I've got all of these laid out, and as I go through these, they'll be put up on the website with the lesson files. I record my lessons and have that up, so you can get these that way if you want to. Yeah. There sure seems to be.
Observation, you know, same thing that seems to be really driving the train, especially with college age kids and maybe a little bit older, younger, is the praise song genre. You know, you go to Liberty, let's say, University, where the kidder goes, and the whole service is just rocking praise song.
So you see a difference?
A little bit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You know, it just, I think some of the hymns are praise hymns, you know. But then I know a lot of the hymns seem to be forgiveness driven, so to speak. You know, I'm just trying to see if there's something you learn there.
What strikes me is having grown up with hymns and now, you know, being more connected with the praise songs, the style of music is significantly different. But when you hear the word read, there seems to be very little difference for me. I mean, I've heard you read hymns, and they are almost even more powerful, just kind of reflecting on the words. And then to hear that praise song, which I'm sure I've heard it over and over again, and I've probably
so this is a familiar one for you.
Yeah, I've heard it. But to hear it read, again, it's like that is just as powerful as the hymns. You know?
John, you were going to say something.
Yeah, we've often talked to David about David Jeremiah. basically, made a comment, I just talked to some radio stations, so he said all music as far as is okay in the church as long as the words are right, and that included rap or anything else, as long as the words are right. And there's a very conservative Christian station dropped him.
That's why I can't find him on that station, huh?
That's it. Inside information.
I had actually wondered that. Yeah. I need to tell you, rather than let you figure this out and discover it later. In the first hour, I'll let them figure it out. You guys, I'll just tell you up front. This week, because of this...
Now, are you saying we're the remedial
one? No. Let me say what I did. What ended up happening this morning in the first hour was that we spent a lot of time in the first hour talking about their tensions with praise songs and exploring, you know, how do folks who have their grounding in worship styles that have hymns at the center react to praise songs which are outside their comfort zone. We spent some time doing that. I need to let you know, I think that's an okay thing for us to do in here as well, is to talk about that. And wherever you happen to stand, I want you to know up front that that's an okay thing. In weeks before, we have talked primarily about the hymns and the message, the spiritual message, and the direction that the hymn might give to our lives. I want us to do that with the praise songs, but we will do that more in weeks to come. We've got more coming. But I want us this morning to feel comfortable talking about this. And I will tell you that in the morning time, in that first hour, the wife, a former pastor and his wife attend. And she stood up and talked about her five children. She and her five children all raised with hymns as the focus of worship. And now she goes and visits her five children, and all of them are in active, thriving, strong churches, and all of them have praise songs at the heart of it. And she talked about one particular daughter who, with her husband, founded a church up in Northern Virginia that's now over 1,000 average attendance each week. And she said when he goes in there, she says, I watch and I see the power that this has. John Harris, who stands over here, I don't know if you know him, a good man in our church who was part of a strategic planning effort back in the late 90s. Where some deliberate decisions were made by the leadership of the church through that team and accepted by the church that we were going to move to trying to find a way to offer worship experiences that seemed to be the kind that different people would respond to so that we wouldn't take away what we have previously had but add to that. And he reminded the group of those deliberate decisions that were made. Now I guess we're coming up on almost a decade ago. And as we talked further, there were folks who come to our traditional services, but they have a place that they go to in the summer, and then they worship at a little church near there. And they talk about the power of that. The key is, what do people respond to? My sense is there are things in the hymns that if they do not move a seeking heart, that heart's not going to be moved. But there are things in the praise hymns as well. You know the praise hymns better than I do, which is why I put out the invitation I did. Many of these songs are new to me, but I see the power. And there were several people in the morning who said, you know, 20 years ago, I would listen to praise songs, and it would always be the same three, and it would always be two lines, and then we'd just sing those two lines over and over again. They said, you know, I have to admit, that's that when you hear somebody say, I have to admit, you know, all right, there's a sea change going on. They said, I have to admit, praise songs have gotten more complex. They've gotten more of a message in them. And he said, for me, sometimes I have to work a little bit to hear the words and all that inside the music that's setting, because it's not a setting that I would. But when I listen, I realize what's there. And you're saying that when you read the words of a hymn, sometimes the hymn takes on new meaning when you start to realize what the hymn is really saying. Praise songs are going to do that too. So I think it's okay for us to explore that as well as looking at some of these real good things that are here. Yes.
I was just going to add one more layer to that. We have, you know, 11, 12-year-old boys in the house, and Jonathan loves Toby Mac. Well, I hate rap anything. I mean, rap anything, and I can't turn any kind of station fast enough. And I was in the car, and Jonathan popped in his Toby Mac, and I'm trying to, you know, tolerate it. And I've listened to it for like 3 or 4 days by myself in the car, every song, because I'm like, now I'm so into it. And I got him in the car, and he goes, oh my gosh, I hate rap. I'm like, no, listen to the words of the song. Now, oddly enough, you got a 12-year-old being raised in the house by a stepdad who's very much involved in the recovery world. We talk about it openly in our house among the teenagers, and they see it in Sunday school. And there's that one story by Toby Mac, you know, stories. We've all got them when you hit rock bottom. When you hit rock bottom, put your hands in the air so someone will know that the Most High cares. I know. I love that song. I mean, and I drive like this, you know, and I'm like, I'm driving and people look at me and she's dancing in the seat with me. And
I think we're now all out of our comfort zone.
Now, this is speaking to the difference in spiritual maturity and emotional maturity.
But, you know, I mean, initially I was just so judgmental I think I still hate rap. But I love knowing when I listen to Toby Mac that if I really pay attention, those words really have an interesting story behind them, or they're telling a message. And Jonathan, who's sitting there 12
years
old, gets it. He's sitting there living a whole, he's got a tough story he's living through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he can connect and hear those words, and I know that his iPod's filled with those kind of songs, I'm okay with that. I mean, I get the generational gaps and how it's hard to say I'm going to be open to. It's comical when you say the hymn generation is saying, okay, we're struggling, but we're going to open our minds to the praise. And you say, mm-hmm. I'm over here going, wow. Mm-hmm.
It's just going to walk. It's just going to walk its way down.
A little thing on that. 20 years ago, when I was married, I went to a DC talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were ahead of your time on that one too.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's interesting.
Here's a second one. hungry. A little harder to find this one when you have one word to go for. The internet's not all that good at picking this up. Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait. I wait. I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Broken, I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I'm weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait. I wait. I wait for you. What do you hear in those words?
Faith that, you know, I'm here waiting, and faith that God will come.
Others.
There's a large picture at the First Baptist Church of Christ knocking on the door, and all you've got to do is open it. And I guess he comes in his time.
You gonna talk on that picture, you gotta do it all. There's no doorknob. It's an echo of Revelation either 2 or 3 when he talks to that church and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody will open the door, I'll come in." And there's no doorknob. And that's the picture on the wall down there.
It seems to me that about 90%, I want you to comment on this, 90% of the gathering songs either tell the core description of Christianity or simply, we love you, God, Jesus, and praise. You think that?
When you were reading the words, the scripture came to mind, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength.
Turns out that phrase turns up in another song that I've got queued up for this morning. An observation that I made in the first hour, let me make it again in here. I have the sense that as I read these lyrics in the praise songs, they seem mostly to be aimed at gratitude or wonder or something in that context. For what God has done for me. Maybe surprise, awe, but gratitude and delight in what God has done for me. I don't see as many praise songs that seem to be aimed at, okay, what do I do now? What's the next stage? And if you stop and think about it, it was about 200 years ago that people from Europe were coming over to America telling people don't listen to Isaac Watts hymns because they're from the devil. The hymn writers have had about 200 years to write hymns. And in that process, I suspect they started out with gratitude, awe, and wonder. But as you're in the Lord's service, God begins to start to use you. And the hymns now, there's a spread. And you have to look to see this, but a lot of those are hymns that actually call us into service, that talk to us about the fulfillment that comes when we take what God has given and take the blessings that have come and pass them on. And that is one of the oldest stories in the Bible. God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that through you the whole world can be blessed. And the New Testament says we are the children of Abraham in that sense, because those blessings of Abraham are now coming to us. And it's our role to be channels. In the traditional service this morning, we talked about the same thing you talked about. I hope, mission mindset, right? Okay. The closing hymn we sang was "Make Me a Channel of Blessing." There's not quite so many praise songs that have that kind of theme, but there are a few. And one of those that does is one of the oldest ones. It's one that I can remember us singing in this church 20 years ago. We also sang this one in the traditional service this morning. See if you recognize this one. I suspect you will pretty quickly. Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care. Headed who knows where. On they go through private pain. Living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life that only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. That's an older praise chorus, but that's one of sort of a different type from many of the ones that I hear. Praising God for who He is, the wonder of His loving us, the things that have come to us. I think for me, from what I hear, you're going to have to tell me whether there's more to it that I've not seen yet. But what I said in the first hour was my prediction is within a decade, maybe a decade and a half, you're going to see praise songs beginning to shift as people have more of this coming out of what, because they're speaking of their experiences in life, the ones who write these, just like the hymn writers have been. Comments?
My wife was in your first hour, so I'm sure we're going to have a good conversation after she joins.
Anybody?
You know, when I think of when you were talking earlier about what's the difference between the two, or asked that thought, the last couple of weeks since we've been talking about this, I've defined it as when I hear the hymns, and my favorite is number 2, Holy, Holy, Holy. I was so excited when I got to shout it out, our little ice storm Sunday. I'm so excited to play the last one. But anyway, when I sing some of the hymns, to me they're soul fillers. I mean, I sit there and I sing them and I take them in, and it just kind of fills all these cracks and gaps in my soul. And then when I sing praise songs, to me it's just, I totally flip the switch, and it's all about just sending praise. It's all about, just like you had mentioned, the gratitude and thanksgiving and just praise. I mean, it's all about just giving God thanks.
And so often the surprise, care enough to do with me and for me the things that I need.
Okay. He just reminded me, there are some praise songs, as you just mentioned a second ago, that do give you instructions as what's the next step.
Mm-hmm. And all I'm saying is I think there's going to be more of those.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my prediction.
I'll be your hands, I'll be your feet, so go where you send me, go where you send me. Very good one. That's kind of like, okay, so here is the next step.
Send me that by email. I'll try to queue that up later.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you're probably right about a lot of praise songs focusing on worship and worshiping God for who He is and what He's done. But I also think that a lot of contemporary music now are repackaging hymns. And
sure.
Yes.
Is something that's probably a little bit more attractive to a younger generation. And then they'll throw in a chorus that's very easy to remember. And so you get those power-filled words, those God-inspired words from the hymns. But at the same time, you still put the beat that you're used to. And the music's just the vessel. We mentioned this at the start of the series. The music is just the vessel for memorization, for being able to get these words in your heart and in your mind and to repeat them. And so I think that a lot of times these same writers of worship hymns are using the words of the centuries that have been passed down and just repackaging that to give them. And I can think of countless hymns that have been repackaged in this way to really give that five instructions.
Yeah. It seems to me appropriate. I didn't think of this in the first hour, but you said something that made me think of this. They had an interesting commentary at at one of the awards shows that came on the last little while. I read the account of this in the newspaper. The Oscars haven't come yet, right? Is that right? Okay, they were talking about the Oscars for last year, and they compared it with the Oscars from a decade or two ago. And I think they went back 20 years. And they said that would be 1988 maybe. They said the Oscar-nominated best songs were all on the top 5 or 10 on one or another of the charts. People were singing these songs. the vehicle for memorization, is I think the way you put it. They said last year there's not a song that they sang that anybody could really reproduce and remember and sing, because it was just sort of wild and thrown out there. And they were wondering whether there's some kind of a cycle that comes with it. I think the power of music to move the human heart is when the music says something that the mind can remember. And I think praise songs have a power of doing that, that for this generation and maybe for the one before and after that's in the school system now, hymns can't touch that. I think the praise choruses can do something there with helping kids, younger people hear this, and I think that's why they respond. And I think those of us who perhaps are of another generation, if we can hear the words, then we will listen more closely through whatever might have put us off at first. Chuck, I saw your hand in the
air. Well, you know, and I agree so much. It's all about filling the cracks, and it's all about doing something that's going to get the feet in the wall. You know, I grew up here in Richmond, went through Catholic school, all the way through high school, Jesuit, and I was very regimented, very hymn-driven, very monk-like.
I will ponder that.
High church. I mean, I used to. I was an altar boy, believe it or not. I don't know how that happened. And I used to recite Latin. You know, did the mass in Latin. So there you go. And
let him go. Let him go.
But I mean, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, it's all the same. It's just the delivery system, and I agree 100% that, you know, the more involved or crack filling you can be, and not the drug, but the more crack filling you can be to the people, that's the important part. Mm-hmm.
Next, and then over here.
I find the cautionary tale is, I grew up in a Christian school. My 12 years to a Christian school and attended a Christian church, non-denominational. But, and I was taught them this. I mean, they literally taught them to. We broke down the words in the school then. That didn't happen in all churches, but it was my sense while I was growing up that churches taught you to sing the hymns. The cautionary tale now is, in many of these churches, they just run through the praise songs or use them as a performance on stage. And the kids aren't really taught the songs. Now, I know kids are smart. If they like a song, they pick up on it. But if we treat praise songs and worship songs of today, the contemporary stuff, like it's here today, gone tomorrow, like rock and pop are, then the songs will be here today and gone tomorrow, and the kids won't remember the words or the songs. So the cautionary tale is, if you're in the church and this is the kind of music you want, teach it to people. Teach the words to people and how to sing it. Don't just sing it and then you put it on a shelf and you don't sing it again for a year. Bring it out and teach it to people on how to sing it.
You know, I see your point of view. I agree if it is the type of situation where they're just going there for the jazz to sing, okay, or to listen to that music.
Many kids can sing words, but they really don't know the meanings to the words they're singing. They just spit them out.
My humble opinion was that, yeah, you're going to have that no matter what, where, when. But you also find that a lot of these kids are entrenched in the body. They read, they probably are I mean, you know, it's every it's different. Every aspect, you know, I can say something and you refute it.
I have a daughter who graduated Liberty, by the way.
Oh, great. Well, good. Yeah, you're going to have kids that are just there for the, but at least they're there, you know? I mean, you know, I don't care. You know, I'd rather have them be there singing just for the fun of singing.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
But I agree also
we've
that they need
to learn. Contemporary service. We're trying to make a slow transition. But it just seems to me, and we visited several other churches where this was true, that whatever they were doing just became a performance on stage, and it was not for God's glory, and it was not entrenching in my heart the words of the song. Nobody was singing. You look around, and after a while, everybody's lost. Nobody's singing, and we don't know the words.
Bill, here, you can see this, the hymnal I have. This is 1956, the Baptist.
I thought it was 54, but yeah, it's back in there somewhere.
But anyway, this is what I grew up with. This is still this desperately in the back.
My copy's black, and it's in the bag over there.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a place in Atlantic that we are there a lot during the summer. And the church that we attend down there is Atlantic Church. They took Baptist out of it so that they could draw. It's a Southern Baptist church, but they, in the beach environment, they felt they could draw more people to the church for whatever reason, which they did. This little church is right now in a little white frame church at the foot of Donkey's Ridge, and it is now expanded tremendously. And they have the praise band, and a band. And it still is hard for me to sit there and listen to drums and all of that. But you stop and you look around that church, and you see the young, in a beach environment, but we're there in the wintertime too. The summer you get visitors who are visiting, and it's pretty well packed. But even in the wintertime, you look at the young families who are on the beach and attend church. You look at the young people, and all of their music is praise.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's praise. And, you know, I'm thinking they do a lot in mission work on the beach. I don't get as much from their music as I did from what I grew up with. Something is happening with the music with these young people and young families, especially in that environment.
The fellow in the first hour said he goes to Virginia Beach, not to Nags Head, but Virginia Beach. And he says what's neat there is here's all the summer visitors, and with them are the people out of the military bases in their uniforms because they're back on duty as soon as church is over. Some of them have flight suits on because they're from Oceania or one of the other places like that. Some of them have on the sailor outfits. But, you know, here's the military mixing with the vacation crowds and all this, all praising God. And he says, you know, there's something good about that. And you're affirming that. Let me try one more. Yes. Sorry about that.
Well, we had some friends, neighbors, invited us to go to a concert several weeks ago with the West End Assembly. Dora Lost was the artist name of his band. And I know there are lots of bluegrass fans around, but we didn't realize until we got there that it was bluegrass, Southern bluegrass.
Southern bluegrass gospel music. That's the trifecta, man.
Well, that is right in your wheelhouse.
There was a lot of picking and grinning.
Yeah.
I looked at Lizzie and she looked at me and we said, this is going to be a long night. But it was fabulous. And it ended up being a wonderful time of worship. The moral of the story, I guess, is we had preconceived notions of the music. And I think that's probably true of those who don't have a lot of time to go over hymns or don't have a lot of time for praise courses. But you need to get beyond that and get the lyrics. And once you get the lyrics, that's what it's all about. So,
what's God trying to say to me?
And
is, yeah, is this communicating it? And so many of these, they are. Let's try one more. Give me one pure and holy passion. One magnificent obsession, one glorious ambition for life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you, to grow as your disciple in your truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I'll run after you. Lead me on, and I'll run after you. Give me one pure and holy passion, one magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. Here's the questions I want to ask. What does it mean to follow hard after the Lord? What's that little phrase mean?
To me, I envision a horse with blinders.
In our total commitment.
Mm-hmm. I saw the Olympics a little bit yesterday. Did you guys see this? They are giving gold medals for sliding downhill and landing without falling over. And they are giving gold medals for people who run a marathon in skis. 30 kilometers they went. This one guy had a 25-second lead with just a couple of kilometers left to run. And then it was 20, and then it was 15, and then it was 10 and 5. And in the last 100 meters, two people passed him, and the first four positions were decided within 2 seconds, over 30 kilometers. You know what those guys did when they crossed the finish line? And they said that Barbara said the women had done the same thing the day before when they had run theirs. Wow. Completely collapsed. Why? Because they had run hard. I don't know what running hard means in all of its aspects, but one of it is you are committed. So let's analyze those other words. A pure and holy passion. What does that say? What does that speak of?
Without defect.
The purity says there is something that is right and worthy. How about the word passion?
Something that drives you.
Something that drives you.
Obsesses.
Mm-hmm. That's the second word, is obsession. What does that mean? What does that mean? It takes first place in your priority list and other things fall away. Ambition. A glorious ambition for my life. What does that speak of? I've got the goal in sight. And I saw that Olympic race yesterday, and I thought about these words I had been reading, which I had not seen until some of you told me. You might want to look at this one.
You know, running hard, too.
Do you know that chorus? I thought you probably did.
That song, every time I hear that, it reminds me of the Lafferty's. I had never heard that song until I came here. And Susan Lafferty sang the solo part of that, and
she lives that out, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One pure and holy passion. Chris Tomlin seems to be popping up on my radar as I look through this. He wrote this one before I read it. What was the sermon subject today?
Mission mindset.
Okay? Listen to this one. Speaking to God, you are the God of this city. You are the king of these people. You are the Lord of this nation. You are the light in this darkness. You are the hope to the hopeless. You are the peace to the restless. You are. For there is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done here. That's one that's starting to call a little bit different from the others.
We sang that on church.
Did you? You are the Lord of creation, the creator of all things. You're the king above all kings. You are. You're the strength in our weakness. You're the love to the broken. You're the joy in the sadness. You are. For there's no one like our God. There's no one like you, God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. When glory shines from hearts alive with praise for you and love for you. in this city. That's moving. That's powerful.
I said the question.
And I'm completely unaware of that. I saw it about a week ago. Boy, I'm missing so much by not being in. What did you call it?
Hunter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've quit. I haven't done that in a long time. And I smiled. And I smiled when I did.
I work at the IMB, and you know everybody probably has this vision of the IMB. Straight-laced and, you know, just real Southern Baptist, conservative, mainstream Southern Baptist. Every Wednesday morning we have chapel and we begin to praise and worship song. Every week. That's neat. I've learned a lot of new praise and worship songs.
Let me offer you this one as a benediction. We'll stop with this one. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I'll soar with you, for your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day by the power of your love. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you, for your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. You'll have a good day.